T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special capaccio for you, right?
Oh, yes. Now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio, no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio.
They like carpaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
All right, welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday. We've got coverage of the 2021 NHL Draft, and we are getting you ready for training camp, which is just a few days away. And joining me now for a hot second on the Wester Hotline before he gets his coaching underway today is Sal Capaccio. Sal, good morning. And so does Mac's team, so you're coaching, does the league do, like, they all play under Major League Baseball team names? So, like, you know, they might be the Red Sox and another team might be like the Rangers and they get to wear the gear and all that, or they just have, like, totally separate names?
So it's half. It's kind of, it's yes, the answer is, but they don't go by the nicknames. They go by the city name.
Oh, okay.
But they do use the logo. So Max actually plays for Los Angeles, and he has an Angels cap, but they don't call him the Angels. They just call him Los Angeles.
Interesting. But you know what? That was sort of my favorite part of Little League Baseball, was sort of right. Getting to rep the team. Makes you feel like, you know, you're playing in the big leagues. It was fun. So you'll have a lot of fun today. Thank you for joining me for a couple minutes here just to help me preview training camp, which is just in a few days. First and foremost, Sal, want to start with you going into training camp. There's a lot of talk. Obviously, the last few days have just been sort of a big distraction about, you know, I don't want to call it infighting. It's not infighting, but there is back and forth on a very public forum between a player like Cole Beasley and Jerry Hughes, who are veterans in this league. I'm wondering what you believe, if any, the Sean McDermott element of this whole thing is. We haven't heard from the coach, we haven't heard from the GM, we've just been watching this sort of play out on social media. As you get ready to get into training camp here, it's not at St. John Fisher, so it's a little different. But I suspect that, you know, come day one, when Sean McDermott gets his first media scrum, this is going to be a big topic of conversation for him. And I'm wondering, knowing that you've covered this team for a long time, you've covered Sean since he's gotten here, how little he's going to be enthused about discussing those things when we've got a first day of football ready to go.
Well, I think he knows it's going to happen. But, you know, this is something he's had to discuss now for several months. And I think he's handled it really well, but now we're at a different point, and we see the things that Cole Beasley has said and tweeted, and now we see, like you said, Jerry Hughes as well. And I think Sean, he'll be prepared for it. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to say. My guess would be, knowing how he operates, that he's going to make sure that it's clear, and he's going to send a message, maybe even to his team through the media, that says, no matter what your feelings, you still have a job to do, and we're going to all do our job together, and when it comes time, you can have an opinion about the vaccine or politics or whatever. But when it comes to playing football, we all got to be in the same team and pulling in the same direction. I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, that's going to be his message to his team, probably be his message to the media and through the media to his team. But I also would tell you that I'm sure that this is not something he would rather be dealing with right now, or any team for that matter. You know, the fewer distractions, the better for any team in the National Football League. They want tight, buttoned-up ships. And right now, this is something that a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, it can creep in, that he's going to have to manage, and he's going to have to make sure that things don't go awry. But I think that he's going to try and keep the focus on football for his players.
Sale, I do wonder what your overall thoughts are this week. I mean, listen, the reason that this sort of got drudged back up is the league's response this week, or really their announcement about how they're going to be handling the unvaccinated players, what the potential ramifications are. And this week you saw, listen, and this isn't just Cole Beasley. This isn't just players in Buffalo. You see DeAndre Hopkins. You see some of these big name NFL players kind of going out and talking about their displeasure with A, the league and their potential response to unvaccinated players. But B, there seems to be a little bit, there's almost this underlying feeling that there's being some shots being taken at the NFLPA and maybe their inability or their unwillingness to, I guess, defend the players in this or defend the players from the league and how they're trying to address this. Overall, what's your sense about how the players, not just in Buffalo, but it across the league and into the NFLPA are going to handle how the league has very much not mandated people get vaccines. But let's be honest, Sal, they made it very difficult for players who aren't going to be vaccinated.
So on the PA stuff first, there's a few things here. Number one, it's not even underlying. It is straight out, like, guys have taken shots at the PA. Cole Beasley did when he wrote his thing a couple months ago. We've had other players come out and basically blast them. And their issue is that the NFLPA is, it's a union. A union is supposed to protect the rights of all of its members. And they feel, many of these guys feel, that they are not doing that, that they're only protecting a certain group, the group that, you know, is fine with getting vaccinated or whatever, you know. So that's where that frustration is coming from. And that's right. Now we talk about the NFL has, they're walking a fine line here, but they have a lot of lawyers, and I'm sure they went through everything they can and can't do without actually mandating the vaccine. They haven't mandated it, but they basically made it super duper tough on you if you don't want to get it. And that's, they're right. And it's funny, when a lot of those protocols came out the other day, I had people tell me, wait till the NFLPA sees this. Well, you don't think the NFL knew the NFLPA wasn't going to have a problem with it? They can't do anything about it. Yeah. The NFL wasn't going to put out a bunch of policies like this without running it by and knowing that the NFLPA either A, knew about it, or B, couldn't do anything about it, which they can't. And then, you know, the part about, for example, not being paid either team, if there's a breakout, yeah, and there's a game canceled, even the PA came out and said, well, yeah, that's what it was last year, too. We just never had that situation. So we're okay with it. This is what it is. You don't play, you don't get paid. So, yeah, this is the NFL basically doing everything, going all the way to the edge of the cliff, doing everything possible they can without actually mandating it. But they're allowed to do it that way. It's their league, and they're running it. And so far, you know, the NFLPA has not fought back, and the NFL has really good lawyers to make sure that they are doing it so that the NFLPA can't fight back.
Sale, let's transition a little bit and talk a little bit of football, in particular training camp this week. There are several position battles I think we've all been hyper-analyzing since what? I mean, April, since the draft, since we knew who the Bills were going to be adding to the roster from a rookie perspective. What do you think is the most intriguing, you know, training camp battle? Is it that left guard position? Is it cornerback two? Is it the running back position? Because I think a lot of people have sort of been focusing in on who's going to be the lead back, and I'm not sure that's necessarily the right way to look at the running back situation, because I think everyone's going to get a level of carries, and what the lead back in this offense really gets volume-wise is going to be an interesting thing to see and how that plays out this year. But, like, is there a position one more than another maybe you're really zoning in on and as we move closer to training camp?
Well, first, I agree. The running back, to me, there's no running back battle. Because
I agree.
There's not really, yeah, there's not a clear cut. There's not a guy that's going to be on the field all the time. They're both going to play. So what's the battle, really? You know what I mean? The battle might be if Matt Breida can unseat one of these guys or something like that. There might be a battle there, but there's no running back one battle, because there's not going to be a true running back one in this offense, basically. So I don't see it that way. I think cornerback two is super intriguing because of what we've all seen from Dane Jackson. We want to see in preseason and training camp, can Dane Jackson unseat Levi Wallace? Levi Wallace has had every contender come his way, and he's still holding the belt, right? I mean, like, he comes up and he holds it over his head that he knocks down and wins and stays and keeps his intercontinental title basically every single time. And here comes Dane Jackson now. He's the next challenger. Can he take it away from him? Can he even, you know, rotate? This isn't a starting spot, but the one that I'm super interested about is at safety three. Mm. If Micah Hyde or Jordan Poyer miss any time, who's playing? Because it was Dean Marlowe who did a great job. He's gone. He's in Detroit. Now, they don't miss a lot of time. We know that. But it's possible they could. So I think that's a really interesting one, that battle. Plus, I'll also say, how does it all work with Diggs, Beasley, Sanders, and Davis? Like, what are those snap counts? So I'm not looking at those as a quote-unquote battle. What I am looking about is there's got to be guys, though, who are going to have to, you know, deserve and show they deserve more reps and more talent. If you want to maybe give a battle for the bottom of the roster, I think the last wide receiver spot is going to be interesting, whether that's Isaiah McKenzie or Jay Kumerow or Duke Williams, Isaiah Hodgins. I think that's a really good battle. It's not a starting spot, but hey, here we are talking about battles at the back end of the roster. That shows that your team is pretty good.
Sal, last thing for you. I want to move away from the NFL and ask you a hockey question because yesterday, obviously, you know, you and I both, although we definitely veer towards football, I think both of us, know enough about hockey to be pretty surprised about the Ristolainen trade yesterday, particularly because it's been something I think a lot of fans have been yearning for the better part of 3-4, maybe even 5 years now. It finally gets done, and Kevin Adams gets way more than I think anybody thought Ristolainen was going to get in return. Just your overall thoughts, the fact that the Sabres end up with a rostered player, a first and a second-round pick for Rasmus Ristolainen.
Yeah, I'm stunned too, but you know, I always felt that this was the reason why they protected Risto over Will Borgen, which was they knew they could get something. They knew they could get something in return for Ristolainen, so, you know, why leave him unprotected and then he walks for free, basically. So now, but to me, like, even if a first-rounder could be in the discussion, which I always felt that there's such a differing opinion on Ristolainen around the league, a lot of this comes down to analytics versus eye test, that kind of thing. And if there's a team, I've always believed that there's got to be a team out there that really likes him, likes his measurables, likes all, you know, the physicality, whatever. So maybe they'll give you a late first-round pick. But to get 14 overall, yeah, and a second round pick and a rostered player, and now you're, you know, eliminating that salary as well. Yeah, I mean, I think they did a great job. Do we know the exact details on the Reinhardt trade? I woke up this morning, I had a flag football game I couldn't see. I know the goalie was involved.
Yeah, not yet. Devin Levi and potentially a first round pick next year. I mean, the only thing that I've seen that has been widely reported is just the Devin Levi part of it, but other than that,
there has been some talk. It could be a potential rostered forward as well.
Yep.
But we haven't really had a clear. It's interesting, Sal, that the trade came down from, you know, the Dreggers and the Friedmans of the world, and yet we still don't have the actual details of the move. So we will be bringing it to everyone that's listening as soon as that information is made available to us, and Paul Hamilton will be along for the way as well today, as well as Brayton. So, Sal, thank you so much for jumping on, helping me preview a little bit of training camp as we get closer and closer to that. We'll be looking forward to your work and your coverage of training camp, and enjoy your game today, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you, and I want to say best of luck to Owen Parker today, Bulldog's son.
Yes.
It would be amazing
oh, yeah,
to see and hear his name called amongst the NHL draftees. It would be pretty special to see that, and you know, I know he's on the radar, so to speak, so you know, we'll see if that happens. So I just want to throw out best of luck. You know, he's got a lot of people that would – it would be a really,
absolutely,
really great story for all of us in Buffalo, and especially WGR.
Yeah,
I would
be great.
I would love it if it happened while we were here on the show as well watching.
Mm-hmm.
It would be awesome. All right, Sal, thank you so
great
much,
guy.
Man. Enjoy. Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. A quick timeout. What do you got, Brayden?
Elliot Freeman is reporting that there is potential trade activity between the Blue Jackets and the Flyers, and it could be involving Cam Atkinson and
ooh,
Jacob Voracek.
Oh.
Voracek would be going back to Columbus.
Oh.
That's where Voracek, I believe, began his career.
Yes,
was in
and
Columbus.
Atkinson is a very good player.
He's very
when
well
healthy.
Known. He's a very well known player around here.
When he's
Jeremy
healthy.
Would tell you that.
Yeah, when he's healthy. All right, timeout. Other side. We'll preview hour two. It's coming up next here on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.